Hello and welcome to the Flying Frisbee with me, Dominic Frisbee. Today we have your Sunday morning thought piece. You can read it, you can listen to me reading it as you're doing now, or as many like to do, you can read and listen at the same time. And today's piece is called Why It Is Inevitable That Modern Buildings Will Be Ugly. Lost Proportions and the Metric System. I love how easy it is to predict things about you based on what you like or dislike. Did you know, for example, that if you buy fresh fennel, you are likely to be a low insurance risk? If you like traditional architecture and old buildings, you're more likely to have a conservative, right-of-centre worldview. Whereas if you like modern architecture, you will lean to the left. For what it's worth, there are plenty of 20th century buildings that I find beautiful. I like Art Deco, I like Bauhaus stuff. I like a lot of modern US residential architecture. I think it's great. But I think a lot more of recent deconstructivist and parametric stuff has disappeared up its state-funded backside and has no chance of standing the test of time. Post-war social housing the world over is verging on the sinful, it's so ugly. Not a patch on the almshouses built a century before for the same purpose, when mankind was far less advanced. Meanwhile, the glass-fronted apartment and office blocks that blight cities worldwide may be nice to look out from, but to look at, they are horrible. When I look at, for example, what's been built in Lewisham, Elephant and Castle, or along the banks of the Thames, you have to wonder what on earth people were thinking. What a wasted opportunity to build something with beauty that endures. And I post a picture of Lewisham town centre in all its horrendousness. There are also some pictures of the Thames from Canary Wharf that I took the other day. Here's what we built. And you can see lots of apartment blocks of unfathomable blandness, followed by what was possible. And I've posted pictures of Greenwich Hospital, the Houses of Parliament and Tower Bridge. Greenwich Hospital in particular would have been one of the first buildings you saw as you came up the Thames, having perhaps sailed round the Cape of Good Hope in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And when you see that building, you really would have really thought England was a special place. It truly is magnificent when seen from the Thames. In any case, it is inevitable that most modern architecture will not be beautiful. Inevitable. It is built into the system. Let me explain why. Yes, there is regulation. When final say falls to the regulator, not the creator, and he or she never thinks in terms of beauty, only regulation and career risk, and so construction is always planned with his or her approval in mind, you immediately clip your wings and more. Imagine Michelangelo, Rembrandt, or Beethoven requiring regulatory approval for their work. Under this banner falls health and safety, bureaucracy, the technocratic mentality, planning, standardisation of materials and their mass production, and more. But there is something even more fundamental which makes lack of beauty inevitable. That is the system of measurement itself. Traditional weights and measures were based around the human body. In the past, before mass-produced tape measures were a thing, we made do with the most immediate tools we had to measure things, the human body. A foot is, well, a foot. A hand is a hand. A span is a hand stretched out. An inch is a thumb. There are 4 thumbs to a hand, 6 to a span, 12 to a foot, 18 to a cubit, which is the distance from elbow to fingertip. A yard is a pace, which happens to be 3 feet as well. A fathom is the arm stretched out, 2 yards or 6 feet. It goes on. A pound is roughly what you can hold comfortably in your hand. A furlong is the distance a man of average fitness can sprint for. A stone is what you can carry without strain. A US pint, the traditional pint, is a pound of water, enough to quench a thirst. And so on. Man is indeed the measure of all things, to paraphrase Protagoras. Da Vinci noticed it. Nature has thus arranged the measurements of a man, 4 fingers to make 1 palm, and 4 palms to make 1 foot, 6 palms to make 1 cubit, 4 cubits make once a man's height, he says in his notes for Vitruvian Man. It turns out that feet are very similar the world over and have been throughout history. The foot, for example, was the principal unit in the design of Stonehenge. Here are some different feet from around the world and from throughout history. And there's an image there. In the article, the cubit, a foot and a half, the distance from the elbow to the middle fingertip, was the principal unit of the pyramids. The pound is the oldest measure of all and goes all the way back to the Babylonian mina. Here is the thing. Proportion is inherent to traditional weights and measures because they derive from the human body, which is proportionate. We are biologically programmed to find the proportions of the human body attractive. The religious will argue that God made man in his own image. Traditional weights and measures derive, therefore, from God, or his image at least, and are divine. The metric system, on the other hand, is not based on the human body, but on the earth itself. A metre is supposed to be 1/10,000,000th of the distance from the North Pole to the equator, though one of the French scientists measuring the distance forged the data, so the measure is flawed. The idea of a system based on the earth itself rather than the human body was to achieve a, and I quote, universal measure based on the perfection of nature, and a system for all people for all time, to use the words of those who commissioned the measure in the years after the French Revolution. Metric may have been a brilliantly simple and comprehensible design based around the number 10, but unlike traditional weights and measures, proportion is not intrinsic to it. For the purposes of science and for safety, as I argue in my lecture with Funny Bits, How Heavy, a universal system of weights and measures is a very important thing. Thanks to the beauty of decimals, again which derive from the human body and the 10 fingers we use to count, metric can scale up or down for use in nanotech or in macrotech. But as proportion is inherent to traditional weights and measures, buildings based on them will inevitably have inherent proportion, and thus all the beauty which comes with proportion. But most of the world now uses metric in its building, which has no inherent proportion, so it becomes inevitable that modern buildings will not have the proportion inherent to older buildings, unless the architects deliberately plan otherwise, which most of the time they don't. Thus is modern architecture inevitably not beautiful. It's why even functional old buildings, such as barns or warehouses, have a beauty to them. The proportion is inherent in the foundational weights and measures. It is missing in modern buildings. In the past, weights and measures changed, even if only slightly, from region to region. The result was regional diversity in buildings. Using local materials will have added to this regional individuality. But the world over, now using the same system of weights and measures, following similar regulations, using similar mass-produced materials, especially means modern architecture will lack beauty the world over. Bland conformity reigns. Even something as foundational as an old brick is proportionate. A brick is a hand in width, for obvious reasons, so a brickie could handle it. In short, unless an architect or builder takes deliberate steps to remedy this problem of proportion, modern buildings will only ever be beautiful by accident. Here's a little irony. If you like traditional weights and measures, you're more likely to be right of centre, favour free markets, individual responsibility, all that kind of stuff. Favour metric, and you're one of those evil left-wing technocrats who champions government intervention, experts, and the BBC. Until next time, Dominic. P.S. My lecture with funny bits about weights and measures from the Edinburgh Festival in 2022, probably the best of my lectures so far. There's a link to that. And there's also a link to an extract from an Italian TV series called Sense of Beauty, which I presented a few years ago about beauty and architecture. A short little film, you may enjoy that too. Until next time, goodbye.